Good morning, my sisters and brothers in Christ. Our first reading today is going to be found on page 871 of your pew Bibles, and it's Psalm 34, verses 1 to 8. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Our second reading is taking on page 1651 from John chapter 4, verses 5 to 15. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Caesar. So our message this week is based on Exodus 17, verses 1 through 7. So if you follow along, you'll find it on page 114 in your pew Bibles. Exodus chapter 17, starting at verse 1. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin and traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. Well, they camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and our livestock die of thirst?" Well, then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord answered Moses, "Go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and the water will come out from it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called that place Massah and Meribah. But the Israelites quarreled, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Shall we pray? Father, this morning we do come before you and asking for your will to be known to us, asking for your Spirit to open our hearts, to open our minds to your words, to have a better understanding of how you would have us to live our lives, what you would have us to do in this lifetime. Guide us this morning in all we do, for we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ah, water. Good thing, isn't it? As I read this and I got thinking about maybe what we needed to talk about this week, I got thinking about water. I think we had two stories here that were all about water. And I thought, so we need to talk a little bit about water, the physical and spiritual water. Miraculous stuff, this water, isn't it? I mean, they searched the whole cosmos. You think about it. They searched everywhere, and they don't find it anyplace else but here in this blue planet they see from outer space. I'm kind of a sci-fi fan. So always thought it was curious. It's like, so this is the only planet with water. So if we look at it from God's perspective in Genesis 1:1 starts right out talking about water, doesn't it? Let me read Genesis 1:1 to you real quick. This is how it all begins. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. God starts with water. You can't have life without water. That's just a fact. And we all know this. So I thought it interesting that when people were grumbling, we really need to talk about this and how it really equates to our scriptures this morning as we read. So in Exodus, people are thirsty for water, right? And they're grumbling. They're in great need of it. And they're almost willing to kill Moses over it because he's led them out into this desert. Here they are, now they're dying of thirst, and they really needed some physical water. Well, Jesus, in our Gospel of John, is at Jacob's well, and I'm certain he was been on a long journey. And he's in a foreign land. Samaritans, they weren't too happy with the Israelites. So Jesus is there, and he's sitting at the well. The disciples was gone, so he's all alone. He's at this well and got no way to grab the water. And here comes a woman. And he asked her for water. And what'd she say? She says, you got nothing to draw with. And so what does Jesus tell her? He says, if you ask me, I'd give you living water. Well, she thought this was fantastic because if she had living water, she'd never have to come back to the well. She was thinking of this, as a labor-saving device. I think lots of us, even today, we're in need of this physical, this spiritual living water. And we're thinking it's going to be a labor-saving device. Well, not really. So the more I thought about this, I'm thinking, so what do we really need to talk about today? We talk about water, so we all know we need physical water. So we all need, supposedly to all the doctors and the experts, they tell us that we need 6 8-ounce glasses of water every day. Really to remain hydrated properly. And if you're a survivalist or something, you would learn that you can't go more than 4 or 5 days without water, because then you're done. You're doomed. So I thought about this. We really need to really understand water. But the same thing is true with spiritual water. Because if we don't have spiritual water as a church, as a body of believers, if we don't have that living water, that spiritual water, we're done too. Is once a week enough? Could we survive a week without spiritual water and still have our thirst quenched? Not likely. So the more I thought about this, I thought we really need to talk about water a little bit. So living water, The only way we can get it, Jesus tells us, is to invite others. Because living water comes, or spiritual water comes from God. The only way to increase it is to invite others. It's not like it's a river flowing. We have to provide that river. Because we get that spiritual water, we get that incentive from each other. What did Jesus tell us in the Gospel of Matthew? The very end, the last thing he told the disciples of Matthew, he said in Matthew 20, verses 19 and 20, he says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So if we want the living water, if we want to know God, we want him to be with us to the very end of the age, what do we have to do? We have to go about teaching. We have to go about inviting others. We have to go about supplying spiritual water. That becomes the church's job as body of believers. So when I think about that, if we're the ones that have to go out and we have to offer the water, we have to pour this water to one another, it's not always that easy, now, is it? Okay, so we supply the water to one another. Then it's up to the Holy Spirit to do his job in that. To convict. And the more I thought about how we supply that water, I got thinking about, we have to supply it because water comes in different kind of containers. I mean, take any container. So you can take this glass. In its shape, it holds water pretty good, doesn't it? So if we had just this little dish here, chances are you could pour water in that and it'd hold on to it, wouldn't it? Take any container we have, an old milk can here. If this didn't have flowers in it, we could fill it with water. Right? So the containers all change, but yet the content has to remain the same. It's still water. Look at it this way. So this morning, Bonnie and I were headed here. I usually fix us coffee before we go. So I always make sure the container I pour for myself has big handles because my big fingers. And I have a tendency not to hold on to dwell, or when I'm driving, if the little opening, and the cup isn't in the right place, I end up wearing it. Because Bonnie, I tell you, I got a leaky lip. And if I have one with a handle on it, I make sure the thing's pointing in the right direction. I'm drinking good. I'll fix one for her. She doesn't have a leaky lip. So she can usually pay attention. And she's getting her coffee and drinking it. And I usually have to add a little sweetener, a little sweet and low to it. So she can better take it down. And better to quench each other's our thirst when we're traveling. To have it available. And that's really what this whole message is about. Because the content of what we are sharing has to remain the same. Even though the containers change. And we especially see that today in this pandemic and how we have to wear masks and all the different things that we have to do and have changed in our society. But did the content really change? No. It's still the same. God is still supplying this living water. And it's our job to make sure they understand that it's water. So I just started making a list of properties of living water, of properties of water itself, how they are the same, the physical and the spiritual. So in that list, I started out with, still water. When you look at it, doesn't do you much good. They get wet, does it? Spiritual water is the same way. If you don't trouble the waters, if you don't use them, they're no good. There's no healing power. And I thought about this, and I was thinking about this morning. I'm thinking, I left some stuff out of the message when I wrote it. I'm thinking, all my life, when I grew up as a kid, we lived over here off of 29. We had a pond, seemed like, out back. And it was always inviting to dive into that pond. But just to look at it didn't do me any good. But the minute I dove in, it became a healing source. Not only cooled me and refreshed me, but also exercised my body. I found ways to use that pond to better strengthen my mind. I learned to swim. But it's the same thing with spiritual water. We have to dive in. We have to get into His Word. We have to get into Bible study if we're going to have spiritual water become troubled, become rippled. And it all comes in different forms. Think of it, water. So you have it's a liquid, it can be a gas, it can be solid. Physical water makes many changes. And spiritual water, there's lots of ways to find it. We find it in music, we find it in preaching and in teaching one another. We find it in examples in how others live. But it's still water now, isn't it? The content is still the same. Because there's a logic to water. We all know that it kind of flows down. It has to flow downhill. I can't take the water out of that glass there and pour it and expect it to go up, can I? It just doesn't happen. I tried that lots of times and didn't work on the kitchen table. I get scolded for it. How can you slop so much? Bill tried it this morning over in Sunday school, didn't you? With the coffee cup. That darn water, it just won't go up. It won't go uphill. It still has to go down. It's the same way with wisdom. So you think about it. When we think about, and physically, and water won't go up, spiritual water doesn't go up either. It flows down. It comes from God. It comes from you and I who know we have to send it on to somebody else who doesn't have quite as much information and needs it, so they won't be thirsty. Then I got thinking about it as a fountain. You see these nice fountains, they spring up, they put them out in cities and entries, different places. You see these fountains, they're springing up. They're blowing out of the middle, and they're, looks like the light just mixing right with them. They come down, and they sit, and they become still. And I thought about this. It's like a jet of water. Oh, it's like water under pressure. How many of you have taken a hose? You've gone outside and you're spraying the hose out and you see like this rainbow come out. It mixes with the light. It mixes with what's around it. That's the way spiritual water works too. When we spread that spiritual water, when it's under pressure, we see the light of God. We see His rainbow. We see all the colors appear. The beauty of it at work. Lastly, it really is a fluid. When I think of water as a fluid, I watch Bonnie cooking. And she can take it, she adds a little more, a little water, or a little too much, a little. But it, no matter how much she puts in, it always blends in. You can always mix it together. And it makes whatever we're making, whatever you're cooking, taste better, have the ability to change. The same thing is with spiritual water. It changes what you're making. It changes us when we use that water, when it goes inside us. I want us to think about water that way. I want us to think about living water that way this week. And especially what our job is. So we need, remember this one more time. The content never changes, but the containers do. So we all need a shape that fits our hands, a shape that we can hold on to, and it becomes our job to find that shape. If you think about water in a sense of it's clear and still, I remember I was out on the Caribbean one time, and when I was in the service, we pulled into the Caribbean, the ship parked, there we sat, and I looked over the side, you could see the bottom. It was like the water was invisible. It was like it was glass. It was unbelievable. I'm thinking, how can that possibly be? And there's times when we see spiritual water, we think it's invisible. And the more I thought about it, I thought, why is spiritual water so invisible? Why can't we see it? How do you see courage? How can we see comfort? How do you see forgiveness? Or when somebody's got a real hard conscience and they find this forgiveness, how can you see that? You can't physically see it, can you now? But you know spiritually it's there. So what's the best way for us to deliver this water? What shape do we put it in? What are we going to put it into? What's the best way to do this? Well, the best way to deliver spiritual water is to look for the other way. Look for somebody in need. So when we look for someone in need, we know that they're in need of spiritual water. Well, if we find somebody who seems to be spiritually well-balanced and off, usually we'll find that they might have need of physical water. So they work hand in hand. There's no separating. They couldn't separate them in Exodus with the Israelites. The Samaritan woman, she couldn't separate them. They are intertwined no matter what we do. So I think it really becomes our duty as a church, as a body of believers, to find the ways to supply water, to supply physical water, to supply spiritual water. Maybe it's by joining a group. Maybe it's by helping Meals on Wheels or adopting a child, or finding ways to reach out in our community to give that spiritual water. Because think about it, if you help somebody who's in dire straits, somebody who's hurting or in depression or lonely, just by reaching out, by helping them, don't you supply that spiritual water that they need? That living water that comes from God? Because all of a sudden, they start to feel comforted. They get that invisible stuff. They might develop to have some courage or find some contentment in their life. It really becomes important for the church as a body of believers to remember that our job is to invite others to drink of the spiritual water so they might have life. It's God's job to give it to them. It's the Holy Spirit's job to do that work. It's just ours to present it and make sure it's in the right container. So we might need to think differently about as we move on through this age. The times are changing constantly of how we present that. What kind of containers do we find so that others may drink and their thirst be satisfied? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for how you provide for us. We ask that you would help us to find the right containers so that the content can fill them. Father, keep us from changing the content of your word, of your saving grace, and from the knowledge of that living water. And deliver it in a way that others may be able to use it, to drink of it. Guide us in what we do. We pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.